From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. The bombing of a Russian luxury train traveling between Moscow and St. Petersburg has raised fear in Russia of a new wave of terrorism. It's also raised questions about the ability of Russian emergency services to respond quickly. NPR's Anne Gerrels has more.
The crumpled passenger cars full of victims were what Russian officials had feared after a relative lull in violence in Russia's predominantly Muslim southern regions. There had been a noticeable increase in recent months. Officials had warned it could spread north to the Russian capital. While it's not clear who bombed the train, officials worry there could be a repeat of terrorist attacks that struck trains and public places in the early part of the decade. Rescue teams seemed ill-prepared for the aftermath. Victims described chaos. It took hours for medical teams to arrive, and they lacked equipment to extract people from the cars. Rescue workers said reaching the site was difficult because it was far from major highways. Access by flooded, pitted dirt roads highlights poor conditions in Russia's villages. Anne Gerrels, NPR News, Moscow.
A report from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee claims the U.S. military could have captured or killed Osama bin Laden at the end of 2001. The report was requested by the committee's chairman, Democratic Senator John Kerry. He has often criticized the Bush administration for failing to make the capture of the al-Qaeda founder a serious priority. The report says bin Laden has since become a symbolic figure who inspires terrorist fanatics around the world. Voters are going to the polls today in Honduras for a presidential election. It was set up by the leaders of this year's political coup in Honduras. The Honduran military forced out democratically elected President Manuel Zelaya and replaced him with Roberto Micheletti, who's rejected international efforts to resolve the political crisis. The BBC's Stephen Gibbs reports neither Micheletti nor ousted President Zelaya are candidates in today's vote.
The favorite to win the election, the conservative Pepe Lobo, has called for a period of national and international reconciliation after the vote. The U.S. government has indicated that if the elections are deemed free and fair, then it will endorse the result. So has Costa Rica, which has long been the mediator between the two sides in this crisis. But other Latin American countries, including Argentina and Brazil, have said they will not recognize any government installed after the election, arguing that to do so would legitimize the coup.
The BBC's Stephen Gibbs reporting. Voters are also going to the polls in Uruguay to choose a new president in a runoff election. The candidates are former President Luis Lacalle and a former rebel leader, José Mujica. Mujica spent 14 years in jail. He led armed resistance during the 1960s and 70s against the Uruguayan government, which at the time was democratically elected. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. The Speaker of Iran's parliament is warning his country will reduce cooperation with the United Nations if Iran gets more pressure about its nuclear program. Speaker Ali Al-Larijani addressed Iranian lawmakers today. The UN's nuclear watchdog agency has voted to reprimand Iran for building a uranium enrichment plant in secret. The plant's existence was only disclosed in September. Canada and India have forged a nuclear technology deal. The announcement was made during the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Trinidad. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
The agreement comes after Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper's recent visit to India and a pledge to work more closely with New Delhi. The nuclear cooperation agreement allows Canadian companies to trade nuclear technology and uranium with India for the first time in 35 years. Canada stopped all nuclear trade with the country after India launched its weapons program in 1974, in part using Canadian nuclear technology. Mr. Harper said this is not the 1970s and India is a stable and reliable friend of Canada's, and he had no reservations pursuing this type of agreement. The deal must still get parliamentary approval in Canada. Full details won't be disclosed until it's introduced in the House of Commons. India already has existing bilateral nuclear trade agreements with the United States, France, and Russia. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Voters in Switzerland are deciding whether to ban a certain type of spire, minarets, usually found on the top of mosques. The idea is strongly backed by the Swiss People's Party, which has previously argued for laws against immigrants. The Swiss government has opposed the proposed ban. Business leaders oppose it, too. They say it could offend Muslim business owners who choose to bank in Switzerland. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News in Washington.